Maker of all things, yes, you are the creator of the ends of the earth, the maker of the heavens and the earth. There is none like you, Lord. You are the one that has formed us, Lord God. Before, Lord God, Father, when our mother's womb, you formed us, Lord God, you created us, you knew us, Lord God, and you have predestined us to fulfill purpose and destiny. Yes, Lord God, to walk worthy of you until all pleasing, to bring glory to your name, formed for your glory. We honor you, Heavenly Father. Thank you for your presence in our midst. Thank you for the privilege that we have to gather again, oh Lord God, this beautiful Friday evening. Thank you because it's all about you. Thank you, Lord Jesus, it's all about you. We have come not just to fellowship with one another, but with you, the Father, and with your Son, the Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for great grace. It's all about you. It's you, Lord God, we are being conformed to. It is your image, oh Lord God, Father, that we desire. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you are doing in our hearts and in our lives. Thank you for what, oh Lord God, you have created us for, to fulfill your goodwill, to fulfill your pleasure, to show forth your glory, to reflect your image, oh Lord God. We worship you, Lord, just because we know in this place it will be all about you. Everything that we think, say, and do, all, oh Lord God, that we'll be learning, Father, the transformation work that we'll be doing, oh Lord God, and working in our lives, oh Lord God, to be all about you. Lord God, less of us, more of you, that we may decrease, that you may increase. Lord, Holy Spirit, thank you, because it's all about you. It's all about your work in us. It's all about the truth. Yes, the truth that will set us free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Thank you, because it's all about all that you're going to be showing us and revealing to us, all that you're going to be sharing with us, all that you're going to be guiding us into, because you will guide us into all truth. You show us things to come. You will do, O Lord God, great and mighty things, exceedingly abundantly, above all that we could ever ask or think, so that truly it will be all about the Father, all about the Son, all about the Word, that He alone will be exalted, so that truly, O Lord God, He will draw men to Himself. Thank you for the change, Lord God, you'll be doing in our lives, and you'll be working in our midst. We honor you, Father. Thank you, wonderful Lord Jesus. Thank you so much, Lord Holy Spirit, as you help us to behold His image, to see Him face to face, to see Him more clearly, love Him more dearly, follow Him more nearly, hear Him more distinctly, obey Him more promptly, empowered to fulfill His will and to bring glory to His name, Lord God, and pleasure to Him. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
It's all about you. It's all about you,
Lord Jesus.
It's all about you, Jesus.
Hallelujah. Let's give it a clap for him as we take our seats. We thank God for His mercies. Truly, it's all about Him, and that's why we're gathered here in Zion City Fellowship, the campus outreach of Scripture Pastoral Christian Center. I want to turn to three people and say, it's all about Jesus. It's good to have you here, and just give them a warm smile. God bless you. It's all going to be all about Jesus in our midst. And we thank God for the word and the worship, rather. And we pray that as it is started, like this is going to get glorious and more glorious and greater in Jesus' name. So we bring you warm greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus, from the fathers of the house, Pastor Luby Johnson and Mr. Luby Johnson. Let's give it a clap offering unto the Lord. We pray that in their lives it's all about Jesus as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's just bow our heads as we go into the word. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have to come, Lord, to fellowship with you. Thank you because it's all about you. That's the cry of our hearts, that everything, every area of our lives will be all about you. It will be all about you. And when men see us, it is you they will be seeing. Lord God, as we talk, it is you they will be hearing. Lord God, even as we walk, it is you they will be seeing, oh Lord God. Father, in every area of our lives, so it will be all about you truly. Not just in the song, but in our lifestyle. Lord Jesus, we pray that you will come and you will have your way. Your kingdom will come, your will be done. You grant me, Lord God, great grace and unction under the covering of the fathers to speak your word, O Lord God, Father. O Lord God, to bring forth, O Lord God, treasures, O Lord God, both old and new. That you will grant us insight, wisdom, revelation, understanding, counsel, guidance, light. Lord God, you will cause the word, O Lord God, to come forth in accuracy, in power, in simplicity, in the comfort and love of the Holy Spirit. You stir up our hearts, O Lord God. Father, O Lord God, to walk with you, to love you more, to seek you more, Lord God, to become more like Jesus. You grant us grace to be doers of the work, not just hearers only, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, because it's not just be about excitement, Lord God, but rather it's be about revelation, strengthening us in the way of your love, in the way of Christ, Lord God, in becoming more like Jesus, in doing the works that he did and greater, helping us to see, oh Lord God, Father, your purpose for us, oh Lord God, the destiny that you have for us in Christ Jesus, helping us to take hold of that which, oh Lord God, Father, you have prepared for us, oh Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you again, Lord God, because you grant me utterance, unction, oh Lord God. You cause it to flow forth, oh Lord God, like rivers of living water, bringing refreshing, bringing forth fruit 30, 60, 100 fold with patience, to the praise and glory of the name of Jesus and the blessing of man. Can help me to redeem the time to say only what you'll have me say. I banish every spirit of fear, worry, anxiety, intimidation, pride, every spirit, oh Lord God, Father, contrary to your will, effective delivery and receiving, oh Lord God, and practice of the word. We destroy your works, we resist, we bind you. Every spirit of sloth, oh Lord God, of anger, bitterness, offense, oh Lord God, unforgiveness, every spirit, oh Lord God, Father, warring against the work of our hands, of us doing doers of this work, of this word, and not hearers only. We destroy your works, we resist, we bind you, we loose the angels to minister for us. The seven spirits of God occupy the air, saturate the air, enforce and execute God's perfect will concerning what we'll be hearing, the delivery, the receiving, the practice, the understanding, and the interaction. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Father, we thank you. Lord, just we thank you. Holy Spirit, thank you. As you open our eyes, open the eyes of understanding, open our hearts. Lord God, help us to hear clearly your will. Help us to understand and help us, Lord God, as we desire to do, be doers of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. We thank God for his mercies. We'll just quickly share this word. And this word, of course, from what Prof was talking about last week. As I was talking, you know, it's always good to listen to yourself as well. As I was talking, I heard myself say something. You know, I don't know whether you heard it, but it was just like a picture, you know. And from what Prof had shared, it inspired me. And then we're talking about love, you know, and Prof talking about the perils of the time and how the times are fierce, you know, and what you need to do, what we need to build to counteract, you know, the fierce times. And you know that these are perilous times. You'll certainly agree with me. And so while I was talking, there was something that I said about people are looking for people that love. Do you understand? What people are looking for, people are not, the world is really not looking for things. They are not looking for the solutions they are looking for. They are looking for people that can love. People that can love like God. People that can forgive like God. People that can think like God. People that can talk like God. You know, people that can walk like God, people that will behave like God. That's really what is in the hearts of men. The Bible says in the book of Isaiah that they will say that this is our God, we have waited for him. See, people are waiting for something. They are waiting for a people. They are waiting for a people that are different. They are waiting for people that have a solution. They are waiting for people that are solution providers. We are talking about solution. We're not just talking about intellectual solutions. But we are talking about spiritual solutions. We are talking about people that are different. We've seen people that are rich, we've seen people that have this and have that, but lack character. Do you understand? So what people are looking for is people that are different in that sense. A sense of character. Sorry, they have character and they also have wisdom and power. And you see, when the Lord Jesus was saying that greater than Solomon is here, you know that he was talking about more than intellectual capacity. He was talking about someone that has character. You know Solomon strayed. He did the very thing that God said that kings of Israel should not do. He married many wives. He had many horses. He had much gold. He did have wisdom. He asked God for wisdom, which was a good start. But he strayed in that he lacked character. Because the Bible says he married many wives. And as he grew older, they turned his heart away from what? From the Lord. So when the Lord just was talking about a greater than Solomon, first and foremost, the very wisdom, or part of the wisdom that God gave Solomon, was Christ. The Bible says that Christ, the power of God and the what? Wisdom of God. So the wisdom himself, there's nobody that can be greater than wisdom himself. The very thing that Solomon asked for, or the very person that Solomon asked for, and part of which God gave Solomon that made Solomon great, that very wisdom himself was now embodied and came to become flesh. So he said, a greater than Solomon is here. Now, not just in intellect, but like I said, in character. Are we together? And of course, you'll agree with me that in the life of the Lord Jesus, the Bible says that he was tempted in every era, yet without sin. Are we together? And so this evening, you know, the inspiration came from that like Christ needs to be revealed in us. And the way I titled it, I was praying earlier in the week, was Christ revealed. We want, and the world wants, Christ revealed through people. If we say that we are Christians, are they really seeing Christ in us? And what does it take to have Christ in us? And how can Christ be built and be seen in us? That's what we want to talk about today. Because last week, that thing just struck me, that it's a people that people are looking for. It's the God in the people, in a people that people are looking for. And you must be able to offer them love and light and life and all that God longs to offer men that he created. And so let's start with Acts 11:26. Acts 11:26. It talks about Antioch. Acts 11:26. You have to help me out there upstairs as I say it. Yes, so it says, and when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. You know, so it's like Zion City Fellowship. They gathered together, you know, a whole year. This is Barnabas finding Paul, you know. And then they assembled together a whole year themselves with the church. And they did what? They taught much people. So there is a teaching that goes forth. And then this is what happened. And the disciples, observe that they were disciples. They weren't just, the Bible says they didn't say they were believers. The Bible says that they were disciples. That means that they had begun to imbibe the characteristics of Christ. A disciple is somebody that has the discipline of somebody. He has imbibed the discipline of somebody. He's practicing the discipline of somebody or of something. And so he has become a disciple in that respect. And so he says that, and the disciples were done. What happened? They were what? Called Christians first in Antioch. After they were taught, they began to bring forth fruit. Do you understand? And Christians just means little Christs. Are we together? They began to see something about these chaps that was different. I mean, they had been believers in different parts, you know, once the disciples went around, once the apostles went around. But there was something that struck them about Antioch, that the disciples were first called what? Christians there. And so what must have happened that made the disciples to be called Christians there, that made Christ to be revealed to them and caused the people to call them what? Christians there. And that's what we want to talk about today. Now, give me Galatians 4:19. My emphasis today is really from Galatians 4:19. And that's major scripture that I just couldn't leave or depart from. And I beseech you and I want to beg you to listen. Because, you know, Prof actually mentions this thing a lot. You know that, and I've heard, you know, Pastor has said it, you know, Prof says it here. About what we're going to talk about today, to be able to go into the deep things of God. And you'll see the importance of that, Galatians 4:19. For Christ to be revealed in you and to be, as we get to see, formed in you, and for people to see him in you, you need to do what we're going to see in Galatians 4:19. Because for Christ to be revealed and unveiled in you, this must take place. And so let's read it together. My little children. Now, so we recognize that people are in different stages in their Christian growth. And I like the way Paul has said it by the Spirit. Well, the Holy Spirit has said it through Paul. My little children, of whom I what? Say it out. Of whom I what? Of whom I what? In what? Birth. Let's read it together. Birth. Again. That means he has traveled once. He birthed them. They got born again. Are you listening to me? The reason why people can get born again and stay born again is because some people somewhere have travailed for them in the place of intercession. See, travail is a part of intercession that people don't really talk about. And you see, if you want to go far with God in these last days and be able to break through into depths of God, you see it. That men that eye has not seen, ears have not heard, neither has it entered into the heart of men, you must learn to travail. Are we together? you must then to break deep. You want Christ. Maybe before we go on, we should just define that Christ again. See, because that's one of the inspiration again. How was Christ greater than Solomon? What was it about Christ that made him greater than Solomon? What was it about Jesus? The Bible calls him Jesus the Christ. Jesus the anointing of the anointing. What was that Christ? I can call you I affair the Christ. After all, you are all members of the body of what? So don't feel it's some high thing that I cannot be reached. The Bible says that who will say, Christ is in heaven, who will bring him down? Or Christ is in hell, who will raise him up? It says the word is nigh thee, in thy mouth and in thy what? Heart, that you may do, that we may see, that you may practice. Let's quickly see who Christ is anyway. So as you are hearing the word Christ, you can recognize that you are part of it and it's in you. We're not talking about somebody alone seated in heavens. Yes, Christ the head, but we are the members. We are the body of what? Christ. As the head goes, so goes the body. What the head has, the body has. Do you understand? Where the head is, the body is. Ye are seated in heavenly places. Irrespective of whether you feel it or not, as far as he is concerned, he has made provision for that. It is up to us to begin to recognize what we have and who we are in Christ and begin to walk in it, bit by bit, day by day, and grow in it and have it formed in us. So this 1 Corinthians 1:24. Give me 1 Corinthians 1:24. But unto them which are called, how many people are called here? Don't worry, we're not talking about pastor or prophets. They are called to be conformed to the image of Christ. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Called to be conformed to the image of Christ. How many people are called here? Give me a wave off from wherever you are. But unto them which are called, both what? Jews and Greeks. So he's not saying it's just Jews in Israel. Jews and Greeks, Gentiles all around the world. Christ the what? The power of what? God. And the what? Wisdom of God. So the power of love, God is love, and the what? Wisdom of love. So you see the foundation of everything is still what? This love that you're hearing. Are we together? Now, give me Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. Colossians 1:27. Go to verse 26. See, I want you to see that this Christ that we're talking about is not far-fetched. It's not far in heaven, you know, or deep in the earth. You see where it is, or where he is. Even the mystery which hath been hid from what? Ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. You see, and when I was praying, and when I saw this, even the mystery which hath been hidden from ages, I remember Daniel, when he asked for wisdom from God. I said, O God of heaven, you have given me the secrets and the mysteries. There is one mystery and one secret that is far more than the one that Daniel saw, more than the one Solomon saw, more than the one that they asked God for wisdom for. It says, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is what? Made manifest to what? How many saints do we have here? Are you a sinner? No, you're a saint. Are we together? Have been made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is what? The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Which is what? Christ in heaven. Christ in hell. Christ in you. Say Christ in me. Christ in me. The what? Hope of glory. See, the hope that people are looking for is Christ too. They might run to and fro, they might jack, whatever. Everything that people are looking for, everything that the creation of God is longing for is Christ. Christ is the maker. Christ is the solution. Christ is the healer. Christ is the deliverer. Christ is the sustainer. By him were all things made. By him do all things consist. He upholds all things by the word of his power. In him I hid what? All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. That's why he could say that, look, a greater than Solomon is here. I just can't go away. No, because people feel that Solomon is high up there. No! In his day, Solomon might have been the greatest because they gave him part of Christ, part of the wisdom of God. But now you have Christ in you, the hope of glory. You have in you the power of God, the power of love, and the what? Wisdom of love. In whom, Colossians chapter 2, are hid all the treasures of wisdom and what? Knowledge. It's all in you.
Are we together? It's only one person that said amen. It's all in you. Are we together? And so now, how do we bring out that Christ in us? How do we bring out that hope of glory? How do we bring out that power of love, that wisdom of love, that greater than Solomon that is already inside us? I am saying, I'm assuming that you are born again. But if you are not, you'll have the opportunity by the end of the service to have Christ born in you. And now, he mustn't just be born in you and just be in your spirit. He must be formed in you. We want to see him. He must become active in you. He must begin to influence areas of your life. He must begin to influence your thinking, your talking, your lifestyle. He must begin to influence your belief system, what you believe, how you walk, how you relate to people, how you talk. Are we together? He must begin to believe what you see. So let's go back to Galatians 4:19. It says, my little children, of whom I travail in birth again, until what? Christ be formed in you. So for Christ to be formed in you, because you see, it's when Christ is formed in you that God can download some things, some level of things. And we'll see in Genesis chapter 1. So it says, for Christ to be formed in you. Give it to us in Amplified Bible. I just want you to, you know, I want you to begin to see and have by his grace and mercy revelation of who you are and what you have in you. And the responsibilities that you also have, you know, in the place of travail, as we get to see at the end, for Christ to be formed in you. It says, my little children, for whom I again suffer birth pangs, until what? Christ is what? Completely and what? Permanently formed and molded within you. We want the power of God, the power of love, the wisdom of love, the greater than Solomon, to be completely and permanently formed and molded within you. And this simply talks about character, all these things we're talking about love, the character of love, the behavior of love, the manner of life of love, you know, the thinking of love, what love is all about, and the characteristics thereof. Now, give me Romans 8:28 to 29 as well. Romans 8:28 to 29. I'm just going to go through these scriptures. Romans 8:28 to 29. Then we'll come back here. Romans 8:28 to 29. Okay. Yeah. So let's back off to 26. Let's read from 26. So we'll know how all things will work together for our good, irrespective of the level that we are. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps our infirmities. For we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with what? Groanings. That's another word for travail. He makes intercession for us with what? Groanings. Travail. Again. For us to know that we can dig deep and bring forth the deep things of God. You know that you have to go into the place of travail. Travailing prayer in the place of groaning, which cannot be what? Uttered. And he that searches the heart, he knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints according to what? The will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God. See, but there is a previous scripture that tells us what has been done. And now what makes all things work together for us? You can see there is an and. It's continuous. So don't just bring out all things work together for me. There has been a background of prayer and intercession by the Spirit in the place of travail, in the place of praying in the Spirit, that is now making all things, good, bad, and ugly, work together for your good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. And what is that purpose? For whom he did foreknow, he also what? Did predestinate to be what? Conformed to the what? Image of his son, Christ. That he might be what? The firstborn among many brethren. There's nothing else God himself is looking for. Nothing less that God is looking for his sons and daughters to be like the Lord Jesus. To be conformed to the image of Christ. Give it to us in NIV. NIV. Give it to us in the NIV version. In the same way, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. Actually, if you look at yourself, in as much as I'm saying all these things, you can remember your weaknesses. they are stirring you up in the face like giants. He says, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. No wonder Caleb and Joshua were able. They say they had another spirit. You could say they had the Holy Spirit. And irrespective of what they had seen, they said that let us go at once. Why? Because the Spirit helps us in our weakness. God knows that we have infirmities and weaknesses, but that's why he sent the Holy Spirit. Thank God we are celebrating Pentecost right now. You know, but the emphasis is how the Holy Spirit, our helper, is going to help us. He helps us in our weaknesses. We do not know what we ought to pray for, but the Spirit himself, he does what? Intercedes for us with what? Groans. Which words cannot express. See, one thing I want you to take away from here as from the fellowship is learning to groan. Learning to travel. I know Prof is going to say more. You know, by the time I'm done. You are, as born again Christians in 21st century, in the third day, as young people, even from this time, and as disciples of the Christ, there was something those guys were doing that made them call them Christians. They were like little Christs. And you know, Christ, as we'll get to probably finish up with that, how did Christ live on a daily basis? What did Christ, don't say that as Jesus, so don't say that. Jesus the Christ. What's your name? Damn me, the Christ. I'm not afraid to say that. You are a member of the body of Christ. What's your name? Shino the Christ. So that's what men are looking for. Men are not looking for rich men. They might say rich men today, tomorrow they die. Everybody might celebrate it today. But Christ is eternal. Are we together? You're a member of the body of Christ. Don't sell it for a pottage of meat like Esau. You have the greatest thing eternity is looking for. The Bible says the angels long to look into this. The prophets and the kings of old long to look into these things. You have what the universe, the one that created the universe, the very nature by which the universe was created. There's a scripture that comes to my mind. I'm trying to remember it. What shall a man gain? What shall it profit a man? If he gains the whole world and loses his soul, or loses the Christ's nature in him. Are you listening to me? Never sell the Christ that you have in you, the developing of that Christ, for a pottage of meat. For fornication, works of the flesh, idolatry, and such like. Now, go back. For us with groans that words cannot express. And he what? Who searches our hearts. He knows the mind of the Spirit. Because what? The Spirit intercedes for the saints in accordance with what? God's will. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. Those who are called according to his purpose. For those God foreknew, he also what? Predestined to be conformed to the what? Likeness of his son, that he may be the what? The firstborn among many brothers. What God is looking for is sons and daughters are going to be like Jesus. Conformed to his image. They're going to have Christ formed in them. So that's why we have Galatians 4:19 as our emphasis. My little children of whom I travel in what? Birth again. Every day you're supposed to travel in birth. For Christ to be formed in you. The only way Christ will be formed in you is through groanings. Through travail. Through deep intercession. It's not just by praying in tongues. Thank God for praying in tongues. See, Christ is our compass. It helps you to know where you are going. Do you understand? It helps you to fulfill your purpose, irrespective of what you've studied, irrespective of what you've learned, irrespective of your stage in life. Christ, my wanting to be more like Jesus, helps you to fulfill my purpose and destiny in that area. Are we together? And so for Christ to be revealed and to be seen, and to be formed in me, I must travel and I must what? Groan. Isaiah 66:10. Give me Isaiah 66:10. Okay. Rejoice. Let me see whether I got the right verse. Isaiah 66. As soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. Okay, go back to verse 7. Yes. Verse 7. Thank you. Before she was in what? Labor. She gave birth. Before her pain came, she delivered a male child. Next verse. Verse 8. 8. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Eye hath not seen, ear has not heard. Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as what? Zion was in what? In labor. Give it to us in King James. So you can see labor. They're using is just different words for the same thing. For as soon as what? Zion did what? Travailed. She what? Brought forth her children. Really, you bring forth anything. And you might be wondering, oh, maybe that's Zion, Old Testament. Zion is given to us and defined in Hebrews chapter 11. And it tells us, or Hebrews chapter 12, says that we have come to Mount Zion. The what? City of the living God. The heavenly Jerusalem. So when he's talking about Zion, he's not talking about Zion in... Zion is a mountain in Israel. Zion in Israel cannot travel. We are talking about a people. See, if you want to, like I said again, if you want to go into the deeper things of God, we must submit to this truth of travail, travailing prayer and groanings and intercession. And you have to stir up yourself. It's not until some spirit forms upon you, Jim, and you see yourself travailing and groaning. No, you do it. The Bible says, I will pray in the spirit and I will pray in the understanding. See, for us to enter into the new move that God has for us, for his body, we'll have to do this thing. As soon as Zion traveled, she brought forth. I travail in birth again. You see, for us to get into the again part, to go into the deeper things, he says, I must travail for Christ to be formed in you. For you to go into the new level that God has for you, you have to learn to travail. Are we together? And so he says, Hebrews chapter 12. I want us to say that Hebrews chapter 12 about Zion. It says that we have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels, the church of the firstborn. So when we're talking about as soon as Zion travailed, peradventure you're thinking, is this thing really for me? Or is it for some people? No, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you. So he says to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn. So the people we are talking about that must be travailing daily, that must be travailing in their rooms, that must be travailing personally, is the church of the firstborn. He says that I want you to be like Jesus, who is the firstborn among many brethren. Are we together? Which are written in heaven, to God the judge of all, the spirit of just men made perfect, to the Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Just if you're wondering, who is this Zion that God is expecting to travail and to get into the deep things of God? Is you. I listen to me. You who has the Christ in you that we are yet to see. You who has the Christ in you that must travail and birth that Christ to be formed in you, in the way you think, in your lifestyle, because all that you need to succeed, all that you need to excel, all that you need to triumph, all that you need to fulfill your destiny is already inside you. It's Christ. Christ, the power of God. Christ, the wisdom of God. Christ, the image of God. Christ, the person of God. The greatest thing and the greatest person that God has given us is the Christ. And he never left the planet. Are you listening to me? It's in you and he's in you. I listen to me. He's in you by his spirit. He's here by his word. And so you have to look into it to begin to remember who you are. You have to go back to the word to remember who you are. You have to engage with the Holy Spirit for that Christ, that nature to be formed and begin to influence and impact and dominate your thinking and affect your mind. See, when Christ is formed in you, God can download more. God can breathe upon you. Give me Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 2, rather. Genesis 2:7. Genesis 2:7. See, the importance of why does Christ have to be formed in me? I'm born again. I think that I'm cool with that. That's not enough for this time, though. It says the love of majority will wax cold. How can you move to a higher level so that when the enemy comes, the Spirit of God raises a standard against him? It's in that place of travail when you come to the place where Christ is formed in you and you're like a pillar that is immovable. In these times, when the floods are coming and the winds are coming, you know, and the rains are testing your covering, the winds are testing your connection, the flood is testing whether you are really rooted as a Christian. You see, I might not be within your room or wherever you are, but those things will come. They came against the Lord Jesus himself, turned stone to bread. Bow down and I'll give you the entire world. Many people are falling for that. Jump! Test God. Angels will catch you. But he was able to resist all those temptations, you know. And so look at this. It says, and the Lord God did what? Nice. Come on, say it out. And the Lord God did what? My little children, until I travel, until Christ be what? So the Lord God is in you as you travel and groan. The Lord God, the Bible says that the Lord is our spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. So when I say the Lord God is God, Holy Spirit, he's in you, he's with you, he's down here on the planet. Are you seeing me? And so the Lord God formed man as he travailed and birthed. He formed man of the dust of the ground, and then did what? He breathed. See, when God, not before he forms, but after he forms, he can now breathe. He can breathe upon your mind. He can breathe upon your will, your emotions. He can breathe upon your mind. You begin to think greater than Solomon. Begin to think and have the mind of Christ. I listen to me. So when Christ, not before, when not before the Christ character is established and formed and is dominating and influencing our wills, it's changing the way we think. It's changing what we love. It's changing our taste buds. We are beginning to love righteousness and hate sin. We are beginning to be more patient and kind. Daily, we are increasing in it. Yeah, you might still fall, but that's where the blood comes. Do you understand? And God never accuses you or forsakes you. See, when you sin, run to God. Don't run from God. Listen to me. That's what the blood does to you. The Bible says that the enemy, the only person that accuses you, and when you hear the voice of accusation, you might use your own voice, but it's the devil, oh. The Bible says he's an accuser. And the Bible says they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. That I'm going to use the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus always forgives, always cleanses. God always forgives me. Now, I'm not saying that you should engage in sin. There is punishment for that if you deliberately engage in sin. But the blood always cleanses. Let's just talk about what the blood does. The blood cleanses you. The righteous man may fall seven times, but you know, he rises again. So the blood of Jesus cleanses you. The word of God will renew your mind. It will give you light. It will give you understanding. You know, it will give you life. The words that I speak, they are what? Spirit and life. That's why you have to read the word. That's why you have to speak the word. When bad thoughts come, you need to reply them with God's thoughts, God's words. I think only on things that are true. I will not die, I will live. By his stripes I am healed. My God supplies all of my needs. I will grow in wisdom and stature. I will not fail. Love never fails. You need to reply. You need to have the word of God in you. They overcame him, the accuser, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. They loved not their lives unto death. I'm going to continue this thing. I believe I can be like Jesus. I'm going to love not my life in the place of prayer and intercession. I'm not saying you go and jump or be a martyr. What I'm saying is, in the place of intercession where you war against principalities and powers, you will not love your lives unto death. You will not say, oh, I need to rest. Oh, I'm tired. Oh, I can't wake up early in the morning. That one is for pastors and teachers. You know, let me just rest. They'll pray for me. Man, I can just wake up anytime I want and say, bless the Lord, oh, my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. No, you love not your life unto death. You deny yourself. You deny your flesh the pleasures that it loves of not wanting to wake up early in the morning to pray. You see, of Lord the Christ, Christ the Lord, the Bible says that he woke up a great while before day. See, you want to be disciples of Christ, you must really walk even as he walked. You must begin to practice that, because that's when God can entrust you with the same kind of anointing, the same kind of measure of spirit that he anointed the Lord Jesus. He didn't give Jesus the anointing, the Christ. Christ just means the anointed one and his anointing. He didn't give Christ, he didn't give Jesus that anointing or that measure of anointing because it's Jesus. Don't be deceived. He passed through the same tests. He passed through the same kind of people. He was tempted in every area, just like you and I. God didn't give him shortcuts. Don't ever be deceived. And so he woke up a great while before day. The Bible tells us in Mark. And you must learn this. And you are beginning to hear this because God is beginning to say, come up hither. Say, I want you to grow up. I'm expecting more of you now. I need more of you to begin to, from my little children, to begin to have Christ formed in you. I have birthed you into the kingdom. Now I'm birthing you again. I want you to birth that Christ to now be formed in you. So it's not enough for me to be born again. Christ must now be formed in me. And then later, Christ will be revealed and glorified in me. If it is not formed, we won't be able to see it all. Because if it is not formed, he cannot breathe himself more and a more measure of his spirit into you. Are we together? And so we got into that, knowing the importance of the blood. And so we come back to that Genesis 2, where it says, and he became a what? Living soul. A soul full of life. Full of the life of God. His mind became living. His soul became living. He had a body formed, but there was nothing. So God formed him, and then he breathed contents into him. Are you listening to me? We're seeing the importance of Christ formed in us. And so we just end with that travail and groaning aspect. Because like I said, God wants to take his body and his church into a new move. And these are things we must begin to learn to do regularly, you know, personally. Give us that mark where it talks about waking up early. Then we'll go to Hebrews. And then I believe we'll just round up from there. And I'll invite Prof to just shut down with us. So, Mark 1, the Bible tells us, of course, in Acts that they were disciples. And then they were called Christians. And there was something they were doing. They were teaching them for a whole year. They're teaching them these truths, these kind of things about what Christ did. And then those guys just dubbed it and copied. And before we knew it, that same Christ was formed. And then it began to reflect in every area of their lives. And at the end, the output was Christians. Christ ones. Little Christs. And so let's go through the life of Christ. The first Christ. The number one. The eternal one. And in the what? Morning, rising up a what? A great while. I can't, it's only Prof that is reading. And in the what? Rising up a what? A great while before day. He did what? He went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. Now, from there, we'll go and see how he prayed. You know, but by his mercy and grace, you know, we've been privileged in this house to be taught these truths about the life of Christ. About the manner of Christ, about the discipline of the Christ life. You know, prayer and intercession, the word, you know, and the principles of the Christ life. And you know, by his mercy and grace, God has really helped one. From when one was young. It's not too late for anybody at whatever age. You're still young. You know, and these are things you can begin to practice. I remember even during my NYC, I was in Plateau State. Mungu. You know, Barakiladi. You know, it was a school. And you know, Plateau is very cold. Very cold. I remember I had singlets, and I'll have my t-shirts, then I'll have the shirts for the day, then I'll have my sweater, and then I'll now have this pullover. And overall, then I now have this headgear, and then I have my gloves. That's how it was. Someone's like, don't let me say me, you're not serving Plateau. But really, I wanted to go there, and God answered my prayers. You know, so it was a lovely day, but, you know, by his mercy and grace, the first week, on the first day, I found out that the soldiers, they had their bugle as early as 4 or 5, you know, as early as 4. So, and normally I wake up at 5 when I was in Ibadan, when I was in school, you know, even when I was in university. But this one was now different. There wasn't any excuse. I could give that excuse, God, you know, they are calling us at 5. I started waking up at 3. To pray. I remember the boys would be sleeping. The place was full of like 40 men or 30 guys. You know, you have to find your way around the bed. And then open the door. You don't want to disturb boys because they are sleeping. They are different. These are guys from different universities. You know, and then you just step out and then you'll be hearing the wind. A cold breeze. And I remember I would go to the edge of that floor. And I just knew that was one way I was always facing. And that was where I prayed. It was the grace of God. See, so it can be done. And I'm still here. I didn't die, like Pastor would say. You know, and it was a test for me. It was a test. You know, whether you would continue or whether you would excuse yourself. And let me tell you, if you excuse yourself 3 weeks in the camp, you'll have your results. You know, Prophet said mercy. So if it was mercy in his time, you can imagine what it was during my time. You can imagine what it is right now. And how people, Christians, believers, would get there and the wind would just blow. Alright? And so in the morning, rising up a great while before day, he went out and departed into a solitary place and there prayed. And God helped me, and I saw the results. And you also get the results if you do it. Now, give us Hebrews 5:7. We're talking about Christ being formed in us to be able to inherit the measure of what God has for you at this time. See, we're in a very critical moment. The earth is in a very critical moment. The church is in a critical moment. The believers, the body of Christ is in a critical moment. And God wants us to inherit something at this time. And so he says, who in the what? Days of his flesh. This wasn't Gethsemane. This was days. Whom a great while before day. In the days of his flesh. What did he do? He offered up what? Prayers. And that was the name. Mark 1:24. It tells us that he ended up with prayers. Now, he's now telling us the details of how he prayed. In the days of his flesh. This is Jesus the Christ. Now, we want the same thing to be replicated in the little Christ that we have around now. He says, who in the days of his flesh, when he had what? Offered up prayers and what? Supplications with what? Strong crying. My little child of whom I what? Travail in birth. They didn't give him shortcuts. He did that. You will have to do that. Travail. Strong crying. Strong crying is as soon as Zion travailed, like a woman that wants to give birth. She, there's a contraction of the inner muscles. You have to do it. I will pray in the spirit. I will pray understanding. It's not about what is said and the popularity of it. It's about what the word says and who you want to be like. See, and the floods are coming again. You see, I have to tell you, the pressures of the time. And this is guaranteed to sustain you, to ground you, and for you to bring out the Christ that can stop the storm. And say, peace be still. You think he was just saying, peace be still, Sha? He was doing this. He was doing this on a daily basis, generating power, so when he faced the demons and the challenges of the day, he can just say, peace be still. He can cast out devils. He can do cures. Are we together? But it started from a great while before day. The back end. You see, you have front end and back end developers. They have done the work at the background. You are just seeing the graphics and the nice things in front. And you think, oh, I want to do miracles. I want to be rich. I want to be wealthy. I want to be a great person. There is a back end that will sustain, that will cause us and know that, help us know that it is durable riches with righteousness and integrity and help you to fulfill your destiny. It says, in the days of, excuse me, in the days of his flesh, heard, in that he what? Feared. Was able to save him from what? Death. Death. The nature. Death. In the air. And he was heard because he had the fear of God. He was humble enough to submit to the word. Not because he feared the devil, but because he feared God. God heard him. God wants to hear you. But you see, first and foremost, you must be willing to pray, supplicate. You must be willing to travail. See, you might never have done it before in your life. And you might be afraid initially because it's new. Because you see, you're going to new territories. You're going to a new ground. You see, when they wanted to take the promised land, their diet changed. They were taking bread and manna. They were taking manna before. But then, when they wanted to take the promised land, Joshua, Caleb, and the young guys, he started giving them corn. Their diets changed. See, as you want to take this new land, I know many of us want to take the land. This land of, I'm just talking about natural things. I'm talking about the wholeness of what God has for you. Spirit, soul, and body. See, more than you can even imagine. Spirit without measure. Wisdom. Power. His compassion. The Bible talks about the fullness of God. See, what is going to set us apart is not the name and the title, Christians. It's the works. Is the wisdom, is the manifold wisdom that he wants to show to principalities and powers. See, God is longing to do things more than even you. that you're thinking about yourself. And so he says that he was heard in that he feared. So God wants you, God wants you to begin to have that attitude of fear of him, reverence, honesty. God, I know that I'm just hearing this thing, but humility, I'm going to do it. I'm going to travail on a daily basis. I'm going to birth. I'm going to cause Christ to be formed in me. I'm going to labor in the place of intercession. I'm going to do it the way it says in the scriptures. Not necessarily, not just the way I've seen men do it, but now I'm seeing the way you did it. Yes, we have examples of people that are showing us how to travail. Like I said, you contract your inner muscles and you pray and you groan. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 42 verse 7, it says that deep calls unto deep by noise. There is not, you can't get the deep things without, I'm not saying you are shouting, it's not shouting. We're talking about deep groanings and intercession. You know how a woman, when she wants to give birth, I'm not a woman, but we have mothers here. They travel, they don't pat you. There's that groaning because the baby is coming out. Psalms 42:7. Read it with me. Deep calls what? Unto deep. At what? Noise. So there is a noise from within to get the deep things, the deep wisdom, the deep understanding. At the noise of thy what? Water spouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. James 5:16. I'm not going to stop until I'm done. It's too late for the devil. James 5:16, Amplified. We quote this during our prayer times. Confess to one another, therefore, your faults, your slips, your false steps, your offenses, your sins. There's a place of the blood where you confess your sins before going into place of prayer. Don't go into warfare without confessing your sins, or the accuser can have something against you. And that's why they overcame the accuser by the what? Blood of the Lamb. And so that was what the blood is used for, to clean your weapon, to clean your heart, so that there can be a free flow of power and of life, of the Christ power that is in you. And pray also for one another, that you may be healed and restored. That's love right there. The what? The earnest, heartfelt, continued prayer of a what? Righteous man. What makes you righteous? If we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The blood of Jesus makes you righteous in the place of intercession. See, for you to get anything in these days, you have to learn to pray. For you to birth anything, you have to learn to pray with deep intercession and praying. For you to have Christ formed in you and be able to fulfill your destiny, you must have Christ formed in you. You must pray with the blood, making you a righteous man, with tremendous what power available. The earnest, Bible says, effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man. It makes tremendous power available in King James. The earnest is not just talking in the air. You must have that earnest, fervent intercession, place of prayer. Earnest, effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous man, what? Availeth much. John 7:38. Hurry up. John 7:38. He who believes in me. No, King James. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his what? Belly shall what? Flow rivers of living water. So it's when it says deep calls unto deep. Noise out of water spouts. Your mouth is like the water spout. The water is the rivers of water. It is in your belly. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So in the place of travail, when you travail, it's not something I'm ashamed to do because I know it works. It transforms me. It causes the power of God to move from my spirit into my mind. It pulls down strongholds. It casts down imaginations. It brings into captivity every thought of the presence of Christ. It brings life into my physical body, healing. It brings change into my atmosphere. More and more, day by day. This is the river of water that is within you. So when it says deep calls unto deep, out of the depths, out of the noise, the water spouts. Your mouth is the spout where the water that he's talking about in John 7 is. So when you pray, oh, water, you can't see it with your natural eyes, so don't be looking for water from your mouth. Water, living water, spiritual, is going into the air. And that's what defeats the enemy. Because when the enemy comes in, into your airspace, like a flood, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water through travail. The spirit lifts a standard against him. God is preparing you for what is coming. To be guys that will invade the atmosphere and change the atmosphere. By first, of course, the power is going from your spirit into your own mind. We have to see your own thinking affected first. It's going to your physical body. We are seeing you healthy, healed, delivered. And then it's going to your relationship. It's going to the air. And then you're able to do the works that Jesus did and greater, just like him. Are we together? And so this is just what I want to say. See, you really cannot travail and give power into the air if you have not loaded your system with power itself. Are we together? It's just like a woman cannot give birth if she hasn't been impregnated, if she's not pregnant. You have to be pregnant and impregnate yourself, we can use that word, with the life of God, with the power of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, I can use that as the last verse. See, that's what these same things are, things that we do like every Friday and we do in church, and by his mercy and grace, we do every day. We have practiced, we have seen the results in our lives, in lives of our loved ones, you know, changes. When the enemy comes, like the Spirit of God raises a standard, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand. See, because by his mercy and grace, it's not because by your own power, but by his mercy and grace, as you do this thing, you will see the results. He says, according as his divine power, Christ in you, the hope of glory, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, has given unto us all things that pertain unto what? Life and godliness, to live a good life, to live a great life, to live the life, and live a godly life in this time, in this end time, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to what? Glory and virtue. You will live, you will not die. You will live to declare what? The glory of God in the land of the living. Whereby are given unto us what? Exceeding. How can we live this life of glory and virtue in every area of our life? How can we live this life of excellence and victory and success, divine success? How can we experience and enjoy a life that pertains to life and godliness, godlikeness? When people are complaining about ungodliness, wherever you are still living the life. You are still living, Christ says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You are still living a godlike life, a godly life. It is because of this, the exceeding and great and precious promises, so that makes you a partaker of the divine nature. Christ is that divine nature that makes you a partaker of the divine nature, be able to show him forth, and for us to be able to see him. He says, you have exceeding great and precious promises that will make you a partaker of the divine nature, having escaped the what? The corruption. You say the Nigeria is corrupt. You can escape the corruption that is in the world through lust. How? Because of the great, exceeding and precious promises. These are promises that promise us the life of God. They promise us strength. They promise us power. They promise us might. So that when you are traveling and praying in the place of intercession, you see, you are releasing power. You are not just making noise. Empty barrels make noise. But traveling persons give birth. Why? Because they have been impregnated. They are pregnant with the great and precious promises. In Jesus' name I have life. Father, give life to my spirit in a measure that is more than enough. Father, strengthen me. The Bible says that he that hath the Son hath life. I have the Son. I have life now. Do you understand? There are scriptures. There are promises in the word that promise you life that you can use to impregnate yourself. You can, by the spirit, pregnate your body. You can pregnate your spirit. And then when you are traveling and praying, you are releasing that same life that has been loaded into your spirit. You are releasing into the air. And let me tell you, you're going to experience miracles. You're not just going to experience miracles. Yourself, you'll be a miracle and a wonder. The Bible says, I and the children that the Lord has given me are for what? Signs and wonders. The Lord bless you.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Pastor Lolu broke the voice barrier. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, that's life. Life, we meet obstacles. We meet challenges. We only do one thing. We overcome them. We do what? Young people have to learn that quickly. Quickly. Nobody promised us that life is going to be easy, smooth sailing, stress-free, problem-free. They only paint such a picture to us. That's not life. Praise the Lord. Life is obstacles, challenges, difficulties. Praise the Lord. But we overcome them. Amen. And that's why we are here as young people. To get the tools to live a victorious life. Praise the Lord. The world is gone bonkers. Corrupt. Deranged. Degenerative. Degradative. It's breaking down. It's breaking down. Immoral. Corrupt. People lack empathy. They lack conscience. It's crazy. Can't explain. The mother killed her two children. What's the explanation for that? The boy wants money. They said he must give up his mother for ritual. He's ready to do it. But that's what happens every day. And don't ever fool yourself. You can't be like that. Just get the tools that will not make you live that kind of life. Because the people too that killed mother and did ritual and co, some of them, they just met some difficulties in life. They need ₦1,000,000. They need ₦500,000. And man, the mother was going to be the way out. Don't ever think you can't be like them. You must have the tools to live a victorious life. Praise the Lord. You must have the tools to live a victorious life. And that's the whole essence. I want to round it up, so to say, but yet I'll repeat two scriptures. Let's start with James 5:16, King James. Okay. Now, three tools. Hopefully, 5-10 minutes. Done. Three tools. The blood of Jesus. Let's repeat. The word of God. And the fire of the Holy Spirit. We'll repeat it again. Three tools. Three tools. The blood of Jesus. The word of God. And the fire of the Holy Spirit. Okay. So that's what James 5:16 is all about. Confess your faults one to another and pray for one another that you may be healed. That's what makes you righteous. Confession of sins, asking God for forgiveness, forgiving other people. And what does that is the blood of Jesus. Praise the Lord. Don't because of one mistake that you made, something you shouldn't have said, something you should have done, confess. Praise the Lord. Clean it with the blood. That's what Pastor Lau always say. We are not talking of you've settled to a lifestyle of sin. No, as you walk in this world, in our imperfections, there will be one mistake or the other. And a mistake will be dealt with, but you can escape it by the blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so the effectual, let's read, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. That means, let me interpret that, effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man will make you victorious. Praise the Lord. By the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man, he will overcome his obstacles. That's what he's saying. That's avail much. Because your obstacles, the trials and everything, they want to drown you. Amen. But if you come with effectual fervent praying as a righteous man, it will avail much. Praise the Lord. And that righteous man is only guaranteed by the blood. It's only guaranteed by the blood of Jesus. Amen. By the blood of Jesus. And that's why we become Christians. I mean, not the traditional Christians, but a member of the body of Christ. Amen. Praise the Lord. So you are grafted in to the body, and there is a clear channel between you and God done by the blood. Praise the Lord. So that blood opens the channel, and then there is life flowing between God and you. Praise the Lord. It's like the baby and the mother through the navel. Praise the Lord. So effectual. Effectual means the prayer is based on God's word. Praise the Lord. That's Pastor Larry was talking about the life of God, scriptures. I think 2 weeks ago we talked about 1 Corinthians 13, about love. Remember, those of you who are here, love is patient, is kind, is not proud. That's what the scripture says. Amen. And we encourage ourselves. You open 1 Corinthians 13, verse 4 to 8, every day and say those things to yourself. I am patient. I'm kind. I'm not proud. I'm not envious. I'm not boiled down with jealousy. I do not rejoice in evil. That's what is drowning people every day. That's effectual. Amen. It's scripture and it's love-based. But fervent, praise the Lord, that's praying in the Spirit. It first starts by normal praying in the Spirit, and then as you progress, it enters into the deep waters. Praise the Lord. I'll come back to this. 1 Corinthians 15. I don't think Pastor Lalu went there, but he said it like two or three times. 1 Corinthians 15. I will pray in the Spirit. 12, okay. I will pray in the Spirit. Okay, there's a 12, there's a 15. Are you there for me? Well, I'll get it done. Yeah, 14. Good. Thank you. 14, 15. What is it then? What is it then? We're talking obstacles. We're talking challenges. We're talking problems in this world. We're talking corruption. We're talking immorality. And we say, you have to overcome. What is it then? What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. Praise the Lord. That's it there. It's not a matter of denomination. This is, what is it then? I will. Praise the Lord. I will. It's you. It's you. It's not anybody else. I will pray in the Spirit. And I will pray with the understanding also. Praise the Lord. So, understanding is the word of God. Spirit, you pray in the Spirit. Praise the Lord. But remember, you come first by the blood of Jesus. So those three tools, the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and praying in the Spirit. Amen. You have tools, and they are daily tools. Praise the Lord. Why? Sufficient unto the day is the evil day. People are looking at me. Please, put that scripture. I want to round up quickly, but there are some scriptures, they exist. Praise the Lord. I didn't say it from my head. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Therefore, take therefore. Read it. Take therefore. People don't like reading the scriptures. And they know in Zion City, I don't agree. You will read it. Praise the Lord. You shout when Arsenal scores. You shout when City scores. But when you enter the church, you're not doing like this. See, we're one humble, gentle person. No. We are militant here. Praise the Lord. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow. For the morrow, we take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. You know, let me interpret that for you. Each day has its sufficient evil. Each day has its sufficient evil. Amen. But you too have your own sufficient weapons. The blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. The world will be there with his evil every day. Every day. But take the blood. Amen. Always with the blood. Problem is that we forget about ourselves. Don't take care of yourself. But you want to take care of the enemies. Say they are your enemy. The blood of Jesus on you. As we go on the express with the blood of... Put the blood for yourself. first. So you are clean before God. Amen. When you do that, your enemies will have less power over you. But the devil has played a game for us. We are always seeing the enemy outside. Bible says a man's enemies are members of his household. The enemies are here. They are here. All those your thoughts, your unforgiveness and your wickedness and the evil you think about other people. Take care of those ones by the blood. Then the ones outside, once you now speak the word, those ones will bow. Praise the Lord. But when you are speaking, I come against all the devil. And the devil is seeing, his fornication in you. He's seeing his own forgiveness. And you are not telling him outside. He said, my friend, relax. And some people went to me. He said, I command you in the name of Jesus that Paul. He said, excuse me. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. But who are you? And I said it one time. You see, that thing is not English. See, when you spoke like that, it's ultraviolet rays. It's spiritual realm. The devil didn't see any spark in the realm of the spirit. Forget the words you said. He said, but when Jesus speaks, we see the frequency. When Paul speaks, we ask. So that is now say, who are you? It's not the words. It's the frequency in the spirit. It's the frequency in the spirit. So the devil saw that. But there's nothing to fear. When you are under the blood, you will generate frequency. That's the truth. That frequency is not really you. It's what Jesus paid for. So you come under the blood. Put the word of God in you. Like we start. Exercise. Start with 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. It's an exercise. Love. So you are generating love, and yet it's the word of God. So you are putting that word of God. And when you finish it, you now pray in the spirit. Praise the Lord. Two combinations don't open the lock. If the lock has three combinations, you need to go. You start using the three. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, probably there's a suitcase in which if you get two right out of three, a little side will open. But the whole thing won't open. You need that. You need the locks must be complete. Then it will open. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The devil is, and as much as he's powerful, he's intelligent, but the devil really can be curtailed. The little thing we need is just a little humility. Amen. These things they are telling you, accept them. Don't argue about them. Don't wriggle your way out. God covers for people. He's a merciful God. I was talking to one young boy on Wednesday. His mother has been complaining. He's very stubborn. Doesn't want to face his book. He just wants to do his own. First child. A typical boy, like all of you that are looking at me. 17, 18, the mother can't talk to him again. He's taller than the father. He's taller than the mother. He's the tallest in the house. He has afro hair. Uncle, he's a big boy now. He entered into trouble left, right, and now he has come back to what his mother said from the beginning. I now told him, I said, see, you are blessed for your father's sake. It's not only you, all of us. One way or the other, one grandfather, one grand uncle, somebody has pleased God. And God will use that basis to protect everybody. God, that's God's mercy. He's always looking for a basis to help everybody. So, but a time comes, God will now say, the one you've enjoyed out of inheritance is enough you to start generating something. That's why it's not the little that we do that is the one that is solving our problem. No, God has a network that he wants to use to help everybody. But a time comes, you just say, do your own part. And that's what we're asking now. Start with this blood. Word of God, particularly the love. Pray in the spirit. As you keep doing that, then later you just see that your spirit, your praying in the spirit will now be getting deeper. Now start moving into travail. Amen. It's not rocket science. It's not rocket science. Praise the Lord. But God wants to get us where he will build us up. Amen. But start by running. Then you're going to fly. Amen. Praise the Lord. You see travail, what Pastor Leon is saying, travail? Travail is the engine of a plane about to take off. That's what it is. The car can move, but later that thing, as it's moving constantly, your prayer life is like a car. But as you continue in it, you just see a time comes, the thing will be grinding. Eh? It becomes an electric kettle or a microwave. And all those things is elements inside. It's intense. Intensity. And then you start to fly. Amen. That's what God is designing. And last scripture, it's about Jesus. I think I read it in my Bible. It's Luke. He says his words were with power. Let me just look at that scripture. I think he cast out devil, and they say, which kind of person is this? For his words were with power. It's in Luke 5 or Luke 4. Read it this morning or yesterday. For his words were with power. It was talking about Jesus. Yes! Praise the Lord is there. We'll read this the last way we are reading. Luke 4:32. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. Take that blood of Jesus, the word of God, particularly love, pray in the spirit. Later, outside, you see, the words you now speak will be with power. Amen. Because what you do in your prayer life is also to take the word of God in and salting it with power. Amen. And then when you now go out and you say in the name of Jesus, the word will be with power. Praise the Lord. It's what came in, it will go out. And God will even want to go out to be good, great measure, pressed down, shaking together and running over. So do this blood of Jesus. Do this 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. Minimum, if that's the minimum you can do. And then pray in the spirit. Then when you enter situations in life and you say, I bind you in Jesus' name, that word will be with power. Amen. Because you've generated words with power inside you at the beginning. Praise the Lord. Let's bow in prayers. We have had God speak to us today. The first thing is repentance. Particularly if you have not been doing these things. Everybody started somewhere. And many of us, we all made our mistakes. They told us the first time we didn't hear. They told us the second time. But enough is enough. Let's all start with repentance. Let's come by the blood of Jesus. Like we said, number one, ask for forgiveness. Ask for cleansing by the blood. If you are here, you can see that you are having resistance to even ask for cleansing by the blood. There's a resistance. Probably it's because you are not born again. You've not given your life to Christ. So that boldness to approach the throne is not there. And you don't want to lie to yourself anymore. It's very simple. It's humility. You can say this prayer to God where you are. Just say, Father, forgive me. I've been a sinner. And I don't want to live a life of self and sin anymore. I cannot save myself. I have already been saved. Jesus paid the price and shed his blood on the cross. I receive that saving grace. I confess that I believe that Jesus have died for my sins and shed his blood to justify me. I believe that Jesus rose from the dead to justify me. I confess him now as my Lord and as my Savior. Come into my life, and I pray that your blood will always cleanse me, now and forevermore, in Jesus' name. So, always let us come by the blood. And we shall have boldness, particularly once you are born again, you have boldness to God's throne. And constantly let us be in the Word of God. Let's read the Bible generally. If you cannot do any prayers, 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8, confess it to yourself. It's the love of God. It's the scripture and the character being picked at once. Okay? So that let's remember that. 1 Corinthians 13, 4 to 8. And then the other thing is that we pray in the spirit. Probably you are not bold about praying in the spirit because you have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Everything, the blood, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the word of God, they are all free gifts from God. They are all free gifts. So, if you don't pray in tongues, you can also pray this prayer. You are praying to God. It's not to man. Pray sincerely to God before you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you because I'm your child. I thank you because of the blood of Jesus that has cleansed me. thank you also because you have sent the Holy Spirit to fill me. Holy Spirit, come into my heart, come into my life, fill me to overflow so that out of my belly will flow rivers of living water with an initial evidence of speaking in other tongues so that my words will be with power. In Jesus' name, amen. So that's it. God's goodness, God's love is for all of us. Let me say again, as we take the final prayers, you have three weapons. The blood of Jesus, always constantly in our weaknesses and everything. And then you have the word of God that we confess and go, and then we pray in the spirit. Say, Heavenly Father. Heavenly Father, I come to your presence by the blood of Jesus. I come with reverence and respect before your throne. You are love. For the Bible says that God is love. I want to develop the character of God, the character of love, so I can be patient, I can be kind, I won't be proud, I will not boast, I will not be envious, I will rejoice at good, I will not rejoice at evil. I believe the best for everyone. I hope well for people. I believe everything according to the word of God. I never fail. Thank you, Father. Grant me this grace to constantly come by the blood, confess the word, particularly the word of love, and let me pray in the spirit daily in Jesus' name. Amen.